The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, it's the most beautiful time of the year. Playoff football. Fuck yeah, it is the greatest time of year, at least my favorite time of year for damn sure, but I know a lot of us feel this way. It is playoff fucking football, and it's the greatest time of the year, and I am super excited about it. But we'll get into the NFL a little bit later. We do have a couple of things going on with some other sports. But before we get into that, I just wanted to say it's actually been exactly a year since I started the Sports Talk with Trop podcast here. And because I did start last year officially when the NFL playoffs began. So last wild card weekend. And so here I am a year later still doing it, and just want to say thanks to everybody who's been listening either for the whole year or just, for a couple months, just picked it up last week. I appreciate anybody who's been listening, and I hope more people continue to listen, and I hope you're enjoying the show. And if you're not, well, go fuck yourself. Anyways, so we did have a national championship game on Monday night. It was very, I would say, boring. I guess if you're a Georgia fan, you really fucking enjoyed that shit. But man, I actually turned that shit off in halftime. And that's because Georgia ended up winning, beating TCU 65-7. That's actually a national championship record, the most points scored. And I mean, it was just an atrocious game from TCU. I mean, shout out to Georgia. They've been the number one team all season long. I expected them to win, but I expected TCU to at least give them a decent game. And they really just did not. They were suffocated on every single aspect of this game. So, like I said, I turned that shit off at halftime. Actually, I think I turned it off right before halftime. I turned it off, like, I think at some point in the second quarter because it was just so, it was just boring for me. I mean, I'm not a fan of either team, but if I'm watching the national championship, I at least want to see a good game. And 65-7, not much of a good game unless you're a Georgia fan. Totally get it if you're a Georgia fan. That would have been extremely enjoyable if I was a Georgia fan. Their quarterback, Stetson Bennett, he had probably one of the greatest games of his career, and that says a lot because the dude's been money since he's been starting for Georgia. He went 18 for 25, 304 yards, and 4 passing touchdowns and 2 rushing touchdowns. The guy just had a spectacular night. Really, Georgia, they scored on the ground, they scored through the air, and defensively, they just held it down. It really just was an overall perfect game from the Georgia Bulldogs and just an absolutely atrocious showing from TCU. Then, in turning to baseball, the Carlos Correa saga has finally come to an end. If you'll remember, Carlos Correa, he's been one of the hottest free agents on the market this year. He's a great shortstop. He won a World Series with the Houston Astros a few years ago when they cheated. And then he just spent the last season with the Minnesota Twins, and he actually played very well. I mean, he's been very consistent with how well he plays. I was excited because at first he had agreed to sign with my San Francisco Giants for $350 million. And then because usually before you sign a contract like that, you have to go through a physical. And I guess the Giants had some questions about his physical, and they just couldn't come to terms on that. And so he ended up going and agreeing to terms with the New York Mets instead for a $315 million contract. So it just went down a bit, but hey, $315. So then there were rumblings that the same thing was going to happen with the Mets, that there was going to be issues with the physical. And so he ended up actually re-signing with the Minnesota Twins for a 6-year, $200 million deal. So it's still a great deal, but he did end up losing about $150 million basically due to this, he had a knee injury back in the minor leagues many years ago. He had surgery for it. It's hasn't really been an issue for him at all. Other than he did, I guess, mention this past season at some point, because what happened was is they had to put a plate kind of where the knee is. I don't exactly know what happened, but I know he's got some plate down there. And I guess both the Giants and the Mets were concerned with it. And so that's kind of what the problem was. And so he did end up re-signing with the Twins. I think that's a good signing for the Twins. I mean, that he already looked solid with them last year. So I think he's going to work out well for them. And $200 million ain't so bad, but still, going from 350 down to 200, that's $150 million, and that's a lot of fucking money. But hey, he's still going to be getting $200 million, and I still expect him to have a good end to his career. All right, and now let's move on to the NFL, the most meaningful thing going on for the next month. Since the season ended, let's go ahead and discuss all the 2022 NFL leaders. So in passing yards, of course, was Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes with 5,250 passing yards. The dude just had a fantastic fucking year because he was also the TD leader for quarterbacks with 41 touchdowns. Then the rushing yards leader is Las Vegas Raiders running back Josh Jacobs ended up with 1,653 rushing yards. And then the most rushing touchdowns ended up going to Jamal Williams of the Detroit Lions with 17 rushing touchdowns. Then in receiving yards ended up being Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson with 1,809 receiving yards. And then receiving touchdowns, Las Vegas Raiders Devontae Adams with 14 touchdowns. Then turning to the defensive side of things, the most forced fumbles this season went to two players tied with five. Alex Highsmith of the Pittsburgh Steelers and then Hassan Reddick of the Philadelphia Eagles. Then at sacks was San Francisco's 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa ended up with an astonishing 18 and a half sacks on the season. Then with the most interceptions this season, four players total this season ended up with six interceptions, starting with Minka Fitzpatrick of the Pittsburgh Steelers, C.J. Gardner-Johnson of the Philadelphia Eagles, who's pretty much spent the last month on the being injured. He's been injured, and so that just goes to show you he had like six interceptions like right to start the season. So, and he maintained that lead pretty much all the way till week 18. So, good for him. And they're getting him back for the playoffs, too. So that could be big for the Eagles. But then also tied with six interceptions on the season, Denver Broncos' Justin Simmons, and then Seattle Seahawks' Tariq Woolen. So those are the league leaders for the 2022 NFL season. So far, very shockingly, no other coaches have been fired as of today. For the rest of this week, I mean, we only had Lovie Smith and Cliff Kingsbury get fired right off the bat. So we'll see what happens. You never know what's going to happen. But, it's very shocking. I expected a couple more at least today, and so far nothing. And then in no surprising news here, the 2022 NFL ratings kicked fucking ass. I mean, Jesus Christ, people. We love football, and we just continue to consume football at greater and greater levels every single year, especially now that, because the NFL, they started their own app this year, the NFL Plus app. And so now that counts towards ratings and counts towards these things. So now more people have access to football games. And so here are the numbers for the 2022 NFL season so far. It ended up being with a total of 185 million people total consumed the NFL all season in the regular season. And every game averaged 16.7 million viewers per game. Like, that is fucking insane. Because, I said this earlier in the season when I saw this number, and it's just crazy to think about, like, even the shittiest game out there is still averaging about 16.7 million viewers. It's crazy. And that's just how interested we are in football. You also got to take into account gambling. That's also driving people to consume the NFL and pay more attention to the NFL because gambling has become more and more accessible all throughout the United States and is going to continue to become more accessible each and every year. And so that also plays more into why these ratings continue to skyrocket. But 16.7 million average per NFL game is just crazy. Then 88 out of the 100 most watched TV shows this year, 88 out of 100 of them were NFL games. 88 out of 100. So that, and then also at the four of the top five. You want to take a guess at what team had the most viewers in four of the top five NFL games this season? Oh, wait, guys. Who do you think it was? It might possibly be that team known as America's Team. You know when people get really upset about that slogan, America's Team, because people, they've always gotten so fucking butthurt over the term America's Team. But ever since the Dallas Cowboys have been coined America's Team, it's been the fucking truth, y'all. And these ratings just prove it. Because not only do we have the greatest fan base around because we're loyal and we stick with our motherfucking team no matter what, no matter how bad they let us down, us motherfuckers are still buying tickets, we're still buying merch, and we're still going to games, and we're still watching games, and we're still there. But also, you haters love to watch us Cowboys, and that proves it with these motherfucking numbers that I'm about to spout off for you. So as I said, the Dallas Cowboys had four of the top five most watched games this season, beginning with Thanksgiving Day against the New York Giants. 42.1 million people watched that game. 42.1 million. Yeah, that's right. Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants. Then the one and only other game on this top five here that does not include the Dallas Cowboys was also from Thanksgiving Day. It was the Buffalo Bills at the Detroit Lions. 31.9 million people watched that game. Yeah, there was that. Now let's see what the other three Dallas Cowboys games that were most watched this season. The third most watched game was when the Dallas Cowboys lost to the Green Bay Packers, unfortunately. That had 29.2 million viewers viewing that one. And then against the Philadelphia Eagles on Christmas Eve, that had 27.8 million people watching. And then rounding out the top five most watched football games of the season, Dallas Cowboys versus the Minnesota Vikings when we trounced them into the ground. 27.7 million people watched that game. So, yeah, if you ever like want to bitch and complain about, oh, Cowboys aren't America's team. Yeah, bitch, we are. We may fucking lose. We may be a laughing stock for y'all haters, but there is a reason why we're called America's team. We have been the most popular team basically since the 60s. And even though we ain't won shit, us fans still stick our asses around and we still pay for the shit and we still watch the shit and we still have high hopes every fucking year. And you haters love that shit too. So suck on that. If you ever hear anybody try to argue with you that the Cowboys don't deserve to be called America's team, suck a fat fucking dick because the numbers don't lie, bitch. Anyways, let's get to some playoff talk. So I'm first going to go over all the wild card games for this weekend and then also get into Monday night's game. I will have a Monday show, of course, and I will discuss Monday night's game again. But I'm also going to go through my actual playoff predictions all the way leading up to Super Bowl 57. So I feel like I have to tell you the results of who I think is going to win the Monday night game, even though I'm still going to discuss that again on Monday. And it's the Cowboys, so you know I can't get enough of discussing, you know, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, who everybody be watching. Anyways, we're all going to be watching this weekend, Wild Card weekend. We have some good matchups. We also have a couple of matchups that I think are going to be ass kickings, but whatever. It's playoff football. So Wild Card weekend, we have two teams on a bye this week. In the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs are on a bye, and then in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles are on a bye, so we will not be seeing from them this weekend. But we will begin the weekend. Saturday's first game is going to be the Seattle Seahawks at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the 49ers are a 9.5-point favorite. I think this is going to be a close game. This is going to be the third time that the Niners have played the Seahawks this season. They are a division matchup, and division matchups are always tricky. And honestly, beating a team three times in one season, it's pretty difficult to do. It's obviously not impossible, but it's very difficult. And in my personal opinion, out of all the games this weekend, I feel like this could be the game with an upset. Now, I'm not picking the upset just because, to be quite frank, I don't see the 49ers losing this early on in the playoffs. And the Seahawks, while they're a decent team, I mean, their defense is definitely overachieving. Their offense and Geno Smith, definitely overachieving. Pete Carroll proving that he is a damn good coach. But the Niners, they're just the most complete team in the league. And I do expect, as I said in my last episode, I do expect Brock Purdy to shit the bed at some point in the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be this weekend. I think it might be further down the road in the playoffs, maybe even next week. It'll obviously depend on what happens this week. But at some point, he's going to have a bad game, so bad that it's going to cost his team. It happens all the time to every single player throughout the history of the league, whether you're good, you're bad, and he's a rookie. At some point, he's going to get the rookie jitters. And I'm not saying, because to be quite honest, I think the 49ers need to go with Brock Purdy from here on out. I think he needs to be their starting quarterback for next season. Obviously, Jimmy G, with what's gone on this season with Brock Purdy, obviously, I feel like you got to go with either Trey Lance or Brock Purdy. Start with one of them. If one of them starts to fall apart, maybe turn to the other one. But if I'm the Niners, you start Brock Purdy from the jump. As I said, it looked kind of weird if, you know, before Jimmy G got injured, it looked like, what are the Niners going to do? Well, now I know what the Niners should do. They should not give two fucks about Jimmy G. Say sayonara to him. Thank you for all you did. But now it's time to move on to Brock Purdy, in my opinion. He's a rookie. He looks like he's a pretty decent quarterback. I mean, we only have like a handful of games of what we've seen from the dude. But I think, in my opinion, he should be the future franchise quarterback for the 49ers. I just think he has the tangibles. You could just kind of see it in him. He's confident. The rest of the Niners really rally around him, including the veterans. So I personally think the 49ers have found their quarterback of the future. Not Trey Lance. I think it's Brock Purdy. But with that being said, like I said, I do think at some point he's going to stumble in the playoffs. Don't think it's going to be this game because the Seahawks, they've been way too up and down. You know, they got the floor mopped with them in the first matchup earlier in the season. And then the second matchup, it was mostly just 49ers domination. It was kind of a close score, but mostly because the Seahawks scored in garbage time, basically. And I just think the Niners are a far superior team. As I said, I feel like if there's going to be any upset this weekend, it would be this one, but I'm not picking that just because I think the Niners are just a much better team. The best defense in the league. Offensively, they have so many stars between Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and, you know, you got Brandon Ayuk and then Christian McCaffrey. And their offensive line is just spectacular. So I just don't really see the Seahawks pulling off the upset in this one. I have the 49ers winning a close one, 24-21. Then we have the Saturday night game is going to be the Los Angeles Chargers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Chargers are a 1.5-point favorite. I expect this to probably be the highest scoring game of the weekend. I feel like it's going to be an offensive battle back and forth between Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence. They're both very similar quarterbacks. They can move. They've got great spirals. They could just get the ball downfield. They've got great precision passing. They're just, you could just tell the future of the league at quarterback is looking bright, especially with these two. The Chargers, in my opinion, are the better overall team. But I think the Jaguars have the edge with Doug Peterson at coach. I think we all know Doug Peterson already won a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles a few years ago. And to me, what he's done with the Jaguars is already like the exact trajectory of what was going on with the Philadelphia Eagles when he just took over. He's a great offensive mind. He really knows how to build a solid quarterback. I mean, shit, the year they won the Super Bowl, they started out with Carson Wentz. He was having an MVP type of season. He got injured and they put Nick Foles in, and Nick Foles ended up winning them the Super Bowl. So he was able to do that. So I just kind of feel like with Trevor Lawrence, they've got a bright future together. And Brandon Staley, the coach of the Chargers, I have always questioned him. Last year, I felt it was more like, you know, rookie jitters. I'll give him another year. This season, especially after last week's press conference, I have very little faith that he's a good coach. He just kind of seems to break down when he needs to make the tough decisions. And I just kind of feel like this is going to be a close game. And when it comes down to it, the team who makes the least amount of mistakes is usually the one who wins. And I feel like Doug Peterson's just a smarter coach. He's going to put his team in better position to win. And I feel like if it's a close one, Staley's going to kind of shit the bed as he normally does. And I have the Jacksonville Jaguars winning this one 31-24. Then beginning Sunday's games, we have the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 9.5-point favorite. I kind of feel like this is going to be the ass kicking of the day, just because the Dolphins, you know, their quarterback situation has been just shit all season long, ever since Tua's concussions. And then Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he's a decent quarterback, but even if he wasn't injured, I'd still be questioning the validity of this team. And, you know, defensively, they're not that good. And now they have some third string nobody whose name I still can't remember off the top of my head. He's going to be starting this week against a really stacked Buffalo Bills team. I mean, defensively, I just kind of feel like they're going to obliterate this Dolphins offense and just have this quarterback running for his life. I mean, the Dolphins only scored 11 points last week. So that ain't going to work against this Buffalo Bills team. I just kind of feel like the Bills are going to come out rolling in this one, and I feel like they're just going to have about as solid as a game as you possibly can. And I have the Buffalo Bills winning in an ass-kicking 28-14. And as I've mentioned before, I don't like to pick ass-kickings. Not only don't I like to pick ass-kickings in the postseason, but I don't like to pick ass-kickings against division rivals, because as you know, the Dolphins and the Bills are division rivals. And the Dolphins did win the game against the Bills earlier in the season, but they were a completely different team at that point in time. And then the second time they face off against each other, it was kind of close, but still, they were a completely different team even then. And now they are just a shell of themselves. They literally just backed into the playoffs. They don't even really belong here, but they're here, and they're queer, and they're staying. So that's what we get. And so I just feel like the Bills are going to dominate this game 28-14. Then the New York Giants are at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now the Vikings are a 3-point favorite. It's kind of funny because I think a lot of people are overlooking the Vikings, as I have too, but I just feel like, and yes, this matchup was close. On Christmas Eve, they played each other, and the Vikings had a walk-off like 61-yard field goal kick. So it was a very close game. But the Giants, to me, they're just not a good team. I have not believed in them all season long. They did sit all of their starters last week, and so that never bodes well. When you sit all your starters, usually you lay a stinker the next week. And the Giants aren't an explosive offense, whereas the Vikings are an explosive offense. Now, their defense has been their Achilles heel all season. That's pretty much what's held them back in a lot of games, especially the close ones. But, I mean, overall, the Vikings offense is really good. And the Giants, their biggest weakness on defense is stopping the run. And I don't think they're going to be able to do that in this one. You know, Dalvin Cook has been silently one of the best running backs in the league. Not only can he rush, but the dude is great in the passing game, too. So I kind of feel like he's going to be the key in this game. Dalvin Cook has a spectacular game. I look to the Vikings to win this one pretty easily. I still think it's going to be a close game, just because, like I said, it's a postseason matchup. So I've got the Vikings winning this one 23-17. But it's kind of funny because a lot of people are taking the Giants as the upset in this one, because I don't think a lot of people are feeling the Vikings. But, I mean, the Giants, they're very fugazi to me. I don't think they're good at all. It's amusing to me. Daniel Jones literally has one good game and all of a sudden, oh my God, he's got to be the future of the Giants. And it's like, hell to the no. They need something new at the quarterback position with the New York Giants. But I think they're going to be heading home after wild card weekend. But hey, who knows? That's why you play the game. But I've got the Vikings winning 23-17. Then the Sunday night game is going to be the Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. Yet another division matchup. This is the third time these two teams are facing off against each other. Now, the Ravens are basically kind of in the same position that the Dolphins are against the Bills, where, you know, the first matchup, Baltimore won. Second matchup, which was last week, Cincinnati dominated from start to finish. But also at the same time, the Ravens have not had Lamar Jackson for the last month. He's not going to be playing in this game. I just don't see how they're going to bounce back from last week's game because, you know, this team revolves around Lamar Jackson. I already knew they were going to have their issues because he didn't have a lot of weapons. And then I knew if he got injured, which he did, that was going to be it for them. You know, defensively, Baltimore holds it down. They're looking great right now on the defensive side of things. But, I mean, that's going to be pretty difficult for the defense if the offense can't score anything at all. Whereas the Bengals, man, they're one of the hottest teams in the league, especially on offense. And they're just flying high right now. Bengals are a 7-point favorite at this point in time. And I actually have the Bengals dominating this game tomorrow, 27-17. And then the final game of Wild Card Weekend is going to be the Monday Night Football game. My Dallas Cowboys at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Cowboys are a 2.5-point favorite. And this is exactly what I wanted because the Cowboys have never beat Tom Brady. He is 7-0 against the Dallas Cowboys in his entire career. I've been waiting. You know me, I love Brady. I root for Brady. I respect the fucking shit out of Brady. But it pisses me the fuck off that the Dallas Cowboys have not beat him one fucking time. And when he came out of retirement and said he was coming back for another year, and it was week one, the Cowboys got their asses kicked by the Bucks, 19-3. And I was pissed off then because I was like, motherfucker, we still can't beat Tom Brady. Well, our redemption is in the playoffs. And I am so, so fucking hoping the Dallas Cowboys can just send Tom Brady off into retirement. That's what we need. And this is what I wanted because I think we're going to get that. I know everybody's got a sour taste in their mouth from last week's horrifying game. But really, as I continue to mention, the Cowboys have not lost two games in a row this season, and they usually bounce back big when they lose a game. That's actually been a consistent theme for them. When they lose, they come back and win big. The Buccaneers are a shit team. If we're just looking at on paper, you know, player to player, injuries, everything that comes into play, the Buccaneers have no identity. Their defense has been trashed this year. Their offense has been trashed this year. The offensive line has been injured as fuck. Tom Brady's been running for his life. He has to throw about like 45 pass attempts a game. They haven't had anything happen on the ground game. A lot of their wide receivers have been dropping wide-ass open passes that they're not known for doing. And even on special teams, you know, their kicker, Ryan Succop, he's usually money. He's usually a very consistent kicker. That dude's been missing even extra points and shit. So this Buccaneers team is awful. The Cowboys should dominate or at least beat this fucking team because the Cowboys are a legit team. I think they're going to bounce back hard from that shit that they did last week. I feel like Micah Parsons is pissed off. He didn't make the All-Pro team this year. I mean, there's a lot of good linebackers and defensive players, of course, but Micah Parsons has been obviously one of the best defenders this year, and he's just, even if he's not sacking the quarterback, he pretty much affects every single defensive play. If the ball looks like it's just been thrown off, it's usually because Micah Parsons just throws his hands up and is almost about to sack the quarterback and he has to hurry up. Or he's even like caused false starts and he hasn't even like moved. He's just staring at the dude and the dude false starts because he's like, oh shit, Micah Parsons is standing in front of me. So I feel like Parsons is pissed off and I feel like he's going to have a breakout excellent game. But on the offensive side of the ball, I think we're going to get back to the basics. I think it's going to be, the ground attack, I think, is going to finally get going again after these past 2 weeks. It's been very quiet. I think we're going to get back to the Pollard-Zeke thing here. I think they're going to be a balanced attack. I think Dak is going to bounce back from the shit show he had last week. And I do think it's going to be a close game. Hell no, am I going to be predicting any type of ass kicking from the Cowboys here. But I do think the Cowboys are going to bounce back from last week. I think they're going to take all the criticism. I think they've been hearing everything. And I think they're going to have a very solid game and send Tom Brady off into retirement 28-24. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, like I said, I'm going to be talking about that game again on Monday's show. But I did have to give my prediction for that one just because now let's move on to my playoff predictions, overall playoff predictions, who I think is ultimately going to win the Super Bowl this year. And I'm going to just start this off with the way it ended up. I changed a couple teams here and there just to kind of see how I was feeling. And then I'm like, no, this is better. And basically every which fucking way I turned the teams around, these are the two teams I ended up with. And one of them I am so not happy about. And you'll know why once I get to it. And so I hope I'm wrong with these picks. For damn sure, I hope I'm wrong. Obviously, I want Dallas Cowboys all the way. But you guys are going to be surprised. There's a good shot that I don't have them in my Super Bowl. We'll see. We'll see. But here we go. So in the NFC, I already just told you who I think is going to win in the wild card round. So in the NFC, I have San Francisco beating Seattle, Minnesota beating the Giants, and the Cowboys beating the Buccaneers. And then in the AFC wild card round, I have the Jaguars beating the Chargers, Buffalo beating Miami, and the Bengals beating Baltimore. So my divisional matchups would be the Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings at the San Francisco 49ers. It's so hard for me to say this, guys. Because the thing I like about this Cowboys versus Eagles matchup is it would be a legit matchup. Because in the first matchup of the season, the Cowboys did not have Dak Prescott. We had a backup Cooper Rushin. And then in the second matchup of the season, Jalen Hurts was not playing. It was their backup, Gardner Minshew. So this time around, hopefully, I mean, obviously we don't know what's going to happen if this happens, but hopefully this time around we would both have Dak and Jalen Hurts as our starting quarterback. So this would actually be like the equalizer and would actually prove who is the better of the two this season. Unfortunately, I have to go with the Eagles. It pains me to say it. You know, I just can't do it, but I think the Eagles are the better team, and I just don't know if I think the Cowboys are ready just yet to win the Super Bowl this year. Of course, I'm rooting for them. Of course, I don't want to be right about this, but my gut just says the Eagles would win that matchup, so I have the Eagles winning that matchup. And then my second divisional matchup would be the Minnesota Vikings at the San Francisco 49ers, and we all know that Kirk Cousins usually falls apart at some point, and I feel like that's what would happen in this one, and San Francisco would beat out Minnesota. Then turning to the AFC divisional matchups, I would have Jacksonville Jaguars at the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, I'm taking Kansas City in that one. Easy. They're coming off of a bye week, so I feel bad for whoever is playing them next week because chances are the Chiefs are going to kick some ass. And then the last matchup I have in the divisional round would be the Cincinnati Bengals at the Buffalo Bills, which would be a matchup of the Monday night game that we unfortunately did not get to see. Even past the first quarter because of the cardiac arrest of DeMar Hamlin on the field, that matchup got canceled. So we would actually finally get that matchup. This time it would be in Buffalo, and I do think Buffalo would get the win in that. So my NFC Conference Championship matchup would be the San Francisco 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles. As I've stated before, I do feel like Brock Purdy's going to stumble, and I feel like this would be the perfect time for him to stumble, unfortunately. So this is my least favorite thing I was talking about before I got to my predictions is that, yes, I have the Philadelphia Eagles as the NFC representative in the Super Bowl 57. I know it's really difficult for me to even say that without vomiting, but it's just how I feel. And I so fucking hope I'm wrong about that. But it's just what I had to go with, and that's where I ended up with. And as I said, I picked a couple different teams along the route here, and each and every way, I just ended up with stupid-ass fucking Philadelphia going to the Super Bowl. And then so my AFC Conference Championship would be the Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs. And so this would end up being at the neutral site in Atlanta. And I think Buffalo is – that it's who I've picked at the beginning of the season. So I feel like I've got to ride with them, not only because I picked them at the beginning of the season, but I do feel like overall they are the best team. I think they're ready to win. It feels like they've been on this trajectory the last couple of seasons. So I feel like this is where they're supposed to be. So I feel like they'll beat Kansas City. And so Super Bowl 57 matchup for me is the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Buffalo Bills. But even though I begrudgingly put the Eagles here, luckily I have the Buffalo Bills winning Super Bowl 57. Because as I said, that was my championship pick at the beginning of the year. I feel like they've played a solid season. They've had their ups, their downs, their comebacks, their blowouts, their close wins, their edge of the seat wins. They've pretty much been tested. And then of course the horrible thing that happened with DeMar Hamlin. So they've been tested a lot this season, and as I said, I feel like over the last couple of seasons, they've just been building towards this, and this is what it should be. And I'm rolling with the Super Bowl 57 champs being the Buffalo Bills. So as I said, I hope I am wrong, especially on that Philadelphia Eagles shit. You know I'm Dallas Cowboys all day, so enjoy the great weekend of football non-fucking stop Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Non-stop beautiful playoff football. And go Cowboys, motherfuckers! I'll talk to you guys on Monday.